San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, March 20th, 2022. Today's lesson is Work, Play, Rest with Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, wasn't that some great music? Happy. Clap your hands if you feel like you're in a room without a roof. Well, we certainly are. We certainly are, and I love it. I love it. So today is the vernal equinox. Today is the first day of spring. And today, something that humanity has honored and recognized and celebrated for over 5,000 years, the vernal equinox, is just a short timer compared to the ancient wisdom in which we anchor ourselves. Because we know that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so we know that this is the eternal truth, the infinite truth, the very basis of who and what we are and everything is. Now I'm really pleased to be here today. Today's lesson is Work, Play, Rest. And it is in alignment with our March theme, which is play, under our 2022 annual theme, Living Everyday Wonder. So here we are, living the wonder of being here on a Sunday, on the first day of spring, on something fabulous, the vernal equinox. So what exactly is a vernal equinox? It's the spring equinox. Now it's an astronomical event. And it is when the Earth's tilt and orbit around the sun align its axis neither away from or toward the sun. What? Basically, the sun shines directly on the Earth's equator. There are two moments in the year when the sun is exactly above the equator, and day and night are of equal length. So today, in our 24-hour day, we have 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of night. Now, being the natural skeptic and scientist that I am, I'm thinking, does it make a difference how far away from the equator we are that we get our 12-12? Some people say no. I say I'll have to look it up. The reason I say that is because my experience, which of course is human experience, tells me that there is no human rule that is right. Because everything that humans do is a way to try and describe something spiritual. The vernal equinox today marks the beginning of spring, and it lasts until the summer solstice, which is June 20th or 21st here in our northern hemisphere. Now, equinox, remember we talk about the solstice in the winter and the summer and how the sun stands still. Well, the equinox comes from the Latin words equi, which means equal, and nox, which means night. So here we have equal night and day. And from now until the summer solstice, the days are going to continue to get warmer. And then at the solstice, of course, it's the longest day. And then following that, it gets to the shortest until we get to December, where we have the longest night. So why am I telling you all this on work, play, and rest? Because we get to play with all this information that somebody did a whole lot of work to calculate. And then they rested. So the equinoxes are acknowledged by cultures throughout history, including the ancient Greek and Romans. And they have the sun correlations at structures, such as Stonehenge in England. The sun will align with specific places for both equinoxes and both solstices. There's also a historic site, an ancient site, Angkor Wat in Cambodia. In Ireland, the ancient structures of Griannan and Aileach date back to the Neolithic farming communities 5,000 years ago. And one of the passage tombs of Carnbane East is directed to receive the beams of the rising sun on the spring and autumn equinox. Now we know a lot of cultures did that with the solstices, but this one does it on the spring and autumn equinoxes, and in so doing, it illuminates the art within the tomb. Even the Mayans from Central America, they celebrated the equinox at the Great Pyramid of El Castillo that's located within Chichen Itza. And you know, I studied this as a kid. This was all part of our world history. This pyramid was built between the 8th and 12th century AD. And it has this amazing feature. So you know there were scientists and mathematicians and astrologers and astronomers all involved in order to make what happens happen. At the spring and autumn equinoxes, the afternoon sun creates a series of triangular shadows which emulates a serpent slithering down the pyramid. And this process is known as the return of the sun serpent. Is that not cool? But the equinox, it's just a natural progression of Mother Earth bringing balance to our dualistic world. Balance. And that's something I want to talk about today. With work, play, rest, I want to talk about the balance that we have in our lives. We want to find our balance. And one of the ways we can do that is by recognizing the physical and the spiritual as identifiable differently, but as one. Vernon Shields wrote a piece for the Daily Study for Divine Science Federated International. He wrote, "There are two springs, one found with nature that comes once a year, the other of the heart that can come, that can be any time or eternal. In the spring of nature, we witness the transformation of the world about us. In the spring of the heart, or of consciousness, we experience a renewal, a new zest for living, a new awareness of God's presence and power ever with us. We become transformed. The spring of nature takes place once a year, today, the first day of spring. The spring of consciousness can take place any time or eternally. The eternal command is, 'Behold, I make all things new.' We need not wait for a certain time of the year to enjoy this renewal of spring of consciousness. Whenever we decide, God is ready. Shakespeare said, "All things be ready if the mind be so." When we start, God starts. When we open ourselves to new life-giving, uplifting, beautifying ideas, our spring of consciousness begins. Why wait? Emerson wrote, "Within man, each one of us is the soul of the whole. The wise silence, the universal beauty, to which every part and particle is equally related, the eternal one." Paul said that the inward man is renewed day by day. Let spring happen to you within, and the spring of nature will give to you great beauty, joy, and wonder. So I'd like to state an affirmation. Please hold your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today, I open to awareness of spirit. And so it is. When I was doing my research, oftentimes I'll just stick the name of the talk into the search engine and see what comes up. What does this mean to the rest of the world? And I came up with something, well, the internet provided something pretty interesting. There is a school in the United Kingdom called St. Gabriel's Roman Catholic Primary School. What drew me to them is they have affirmations that the whole school does together. And one day, their affirmation was, "I can work, play, rest, and pray each day. I can work, play, rest, and pray each day." And I thought, so not only are they teaching them these wonderful things, these wonderful affirmations, they're teaching them how to manage tongue twisters. What the church, or what the school was trying to convey was that we need a good balance of all these things: work, play, rest, and pray. And what they explained to the small students, because it's a primary school, like an elementary school, they told them, if we learned all day, we'd get too tired. And if we played all day, we wouldn't learn anything. I thought, how simple, how beautiful to present it to children. First of all, say, hey, look, if you have to learn all day, you're going to get tired. So they can go, yeah, I don't want to learn all day. And then you say, ah, but if you play all day, you'll never learn anything. Well, to a little kid, maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal. But when you realize you have to learn your alphabet, you have to learn to read, to write, to do basic sums, and you can explain the benefit to someone of, look, if I've got these foundational building blocks here, then I can at my leisure or at my will expand in my learning, but I need my foundations first. We as a culture have a little saying that has been around from time immemorial, or at least my time immemorial: all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. And I was thinking, How many people named Jack do I know? And I'm not one of them is a dull boy. But then all play and no work, they're usually not having a good life either. Another thing that I found when I was looking things up online were some TED Talks, like an hour-long talk on work and an hour-long talk on play and an hour-long talk on rest. And I thought, I can summarize that in one word, balance. And there are some people, and this is fine, we have different tools that we use when we work that are often different from the tools when we play or different from the tools when we rest. People even have a different watch for when they go to work or for when they're at play or for when they're at rest, when they're rejuvenating their own soul, sustaining themselves. When I saw that, I thought, wow, I never thought of it that way, but Reverend John had, like, I don't know, 10 watches, and they all were for a specific reason. There was the watch that he wore when he played in his concerts. There was a watch he wore to church. There was a watch he wore to meetings. There was a watch he wore when he went out to the beach to go swimming. And I thought, yes, every tool has its purpose. It doesn't make any one of them less than. It makes them appropriate to the scene, the scenario, the need. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about work and play, and I reminded all of us that even if we know that we are working, if we bring a lightheartedness to it and a joyfulness and a curiosity, that we can find playtime within the work. I forget which week, but we can find playtime in our work. Right here, right now, what I'm doing is I am working, I am playing, and I am resting all at the same time. Because yes, you could say I'm at work, I'm here, I'm delivering the message. I had to prepare the message, so it's part of the whole work thing. I'm at play because I love doing this. I love sharing the truth and recognizing the wholeness of the divine within me. I know that I am at one with the universe, with all of nature around us. And so that is the rest part. So here I am working and playing and resting and rejuvenating my soul, all at the same time. Technically, we could all do that if we adhered to that pray unceasingly admonition in the Bible, where we know that everything that we do, everything that we see is a prayer. Every person is a miracle, including us. All is divine. All work is divine. All play is divine. All rest is divine. When we open ourselves up and allow ourselves to remember the truth of who we are. So let's ask what other people think that work and play and rest are. Mary Tinkinkin is an occupational therapist. She had an interest in the difference between work and play and rest as far as healing the body, allowing the body to be in an atmosphere that is optimal for its healing. Mary followed the Meyer philosophy, which is find the balance between work, play, rest, and sleep. Mary's take is she thinks that everything is linked to everything. Now, where have we heard that before? That's why we need to think widely and explore the world. The most important thing, Mary says, is to listen to our own body and mind. She's right. So what does she say about work? She says, well, work is productive doing, and it feels like working. Even if you don't have a job, you probably have things in your life that feel like work. By working, you achieve something, and you can be happy about the results. Ideally, you have a job and you like it, and it doesn't always feel like work. But sometimes work, as we define work, can bring stress in your life. Stress, remember, can be positive or negative. What do they say? A kick is as good as a kiss. Gets those, gets your adrenaline pumping, gets your, do I want to stay here? Do I want to go? Gets all of that functioning in your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. If you work too much or your situation in your life is stressful, your body needs more cortisol hormone. It helps you to concentrate and keep on going in a difficult situation. But she says during a stressful day, you have a higher risk to make bad choices with food. Bad choices will increase the imbalance in your body, and those altogether may lead to other symptoms. So she's saying, pay attention to your body. We can remind ourselves that everything that is healing incorporates body, mind, spirit. There is no pill that does the healing. It's the body-mind-spirit harmony that allows the environment for the pill or the Band-Aid or whatever to allow the body to heal itself. So what does Mary say about play? She says, play means playfulness in your daily life. It is also an attitude of how we do things. Play is all about getting excited about what you do. By doing things that you love, your body generates endorphin. The endorphins reduce pain. When we're happy, our body produces the happiness hormone, oxytocin. Isn't that the name of some drug? Or Oxycontin or something? Yeah. So basically, this hormone, the happiness hormone oxytocin, is the best antidote against stress and depression. And when you've got that going for you, you don't really need all the other pills. That's why exercise and movement and stuff often comes under the category of play. Riding your bicycle. Walking, dancing is play, and that's a lot of fun too.
Great exercise.
And kids, they always go out and have recess in school to have a break from the cerebral in the classroom. They go out, they get their bodies rejuvenated and happy running around in play. Now, rest is a time for your thoughts and your autonomic nervous system. Rest is quiet time for your brain. A couple of minutes of silence, time when your thoughts stop for a second and you breathe deep Doesn't that sound like meditation or mindfulness? Mary writes, your energy level rises more when you spend a couple of minutes in quietness than when resting hours on a sofa watching TV. She's right. Because when you're watching the TV, your brain is still working, even though your body is resting. And what you need to do is allow your brain to rest for a while. Mary tells us two things I want us all to remember about rest. While you rest, your blood pressure decreases and your heart rate slows down. By letting your brain rest, you will become more creative and more patient. It's true. It's absolutely true. So I have a story about work, rest, play, and pray. This is from Dan John, and it's from an article of his called The New Compass for a Balanced Life. Remember, we're talking about balance here. Work, play, rest. Work, play, rest, pray. It's a juggling, a balance, a harmonious way for our life to be expressed. And in this harmony of the way we're expressing our life, there is balance. Because there's harmony and there's balance. They work together. So Dan says, achieving clarity in the role of health and fitness was the single biggest hurdle in my coaching career. He's a coach. But I think my first glimpse into the art of lifelong fitness actually happened in the second grade. The fact that I can remember a talk from the early 60s, literally decades and miles ago, is enough to thank the memory of Sister Maria Assumpta and her few minutes at the chalkboard. Sister walked up to the board and put up a basic compass shape. Rather than north, south, east, and west, she replaced them with work, rest, play, and pray. Very simply, she told us, your lives should always live in a balance with these four things. Your lives should always live in a balance with these four things. If you work too much, you'll ignore important things and burn out. If you rest too much, you'll become slothful and ignore real living. If you play too much, you'll be like the grasshopper from Aesop's tale, who played all summer instead of storing food and starved to death in winter as a result. Curiously, Sister never went into praying too much. I guess she figured that was a given. But I've often pointed out that the pray could just as easily be alone time for some. Pray could also just be taking an appreciation of goodness or beauty. There's something restful about watching a waterfall or witnessing a plane land at night. Breathe in, breathe out, and enjoy it. So when we're looking for that balance, that new compass, that work, rest, play, pray. There's something that we have that we need to remember. Again, we have choice. We have choice. And so today I get to tell you again my favorite Ernest Holmes quote. It's from the Science of Mind textbook. It's on page 143, paragraph 3. We cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is choice. If it were not so, we would not be individuals. He writes, we have the right to choose what we wish to experience. We have the right to choose the kind of companions with whom we wish to associate, to say in what city and in what type of house we'd like to live. We are individuals, and the only way we can be individuals is to be spontaneous, There is no such thing as a mechanistic individuality. So what he's saying, what I'm attempting to convey, is that work, play, and rest, you choose. You choose. You cannot be forced by anyone else to do something. You can choose to comply based on all of your options, or you can choose not to, and that too will have an outcome. Every choice has an outcome. We just get to choose which ones we're willing to put up with. And Ernest Holmes also writes about deliberate intent. Because if we are making deliberate choices, then we have a deliberate intent related to those choices. On page 194, paragraph 3, Ernest writes, "A good psychological balance is struck when the will and the emotions are rightly poised." That is, when the intellect first decides what the emotions are to respond to. After the intellect has made this decision, then the imagination is called into play and the game of living commences. It's the office of the will to determine that to which the imagination is to respond. So it is our inner volition of how we will balance in work, play, and rest, and all aspects of our life. Ernest writes, "One of the most important things for us to remember is that we are always causing something to be created for us." We are always causing something to be created for us. He writes, "And that whatever cause we have set in motion must produce some kind of an effect." We know that. Every effect, everything has an invisible cause. And that invisible cause moves through us, through our thoughts. So we can ask ourselves, are we producing the effects we should like to experience? Because this creative process, it's going to go on willy-nilly. It's whatever we put into the creative process, the universe says, yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to work myself to death and never play. Yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to play all day and not have anything to eat at the end of the day. Yes, you got it, yes. Okay, I'm going to pray all day. Yes, you do anyway. Everything is a prayer. Now, before I close, I want to talk about something I'm going to pass out to everybody. This is a little exercise. It's called Work, Rest, and Play, Finding the Balance. Doesn't that sound nice? And so we have here a set of Venn diagrams. One circle is work, one circle is play, one circle is rest. And there are very different ways to see these circles overlapping each other. On the back side of that is a set of questions. How balanced are you? What activities do you consider work? What activities do you consider rest? What activities do you consider play or leisure? Do you have a good balance between work, rest, and play, as in figure 8 and or A, and figure A is 3 equal circles equally overlapping each other? Do you have too much work in your life? Do you have too much rest and napping in your life? Do you have too much time to play in your life? Is it healthy leisure? What do you need to change? So this worksheet is for you. And because we cannot live a choiceless life, it is your choice whether to explore the worksheet with intent or whether to just say, ooh, nice, and toss it in a trash can as we leave. It's your choice. And I honor and respect not only your right to choose, but whatever choice you happen to make. Today's season for nonviolence, day 50, the affirmation that we say is, today I will set an example of a peacemaker by promoting nonviolent responses. So by promoting violence, nonviolence, by promoting balance. And when we have a balance in our work and our play and our rest, we have an easier time of this. However, if we don't have that balance, don't beat yourself up. Don't be violent mentally or physically to your own self based on if you find you're out of balance. Most people are out of balance. Most people don't listen to their body-mind and the connection. You can. If you're not doing it now, it's up to you to do it or not. I have one final quote from Ernest Holmes that I want to share with you. It's from the Science of Mind text, page 302, paragraph 4. He writes, if one appears to have failed, he should realize that there are no failures in the universe. He should completely erase the idea of failure by stating that there are no failures. So you can erase all those false thoughts that you're out of balance. Within you is the divine spark, the divine life, the wholeness, the beauty, the infinite and eternal nature of God. God is not out of balance. God can't fail because failure not only is not an option, it's not even a concept. Everything that the divine thinks is created. Everything that the divine breathes is filled with life. Because the divine is the universe. And what does the universe say? Yes. Yes. It doesn't know the word no. You may hear it as an echo chamber from human beings, but it's like, no, that can't happen. Everything is as it is supposed to be. Everything is created through the divine creative process. So, work, play, rest, and pray. Thank you for your time, for your attention, for being here with your loving presence in balance and harmony with me. Namaste.